In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. Today we come to you from Philadelphia. Here we'll meet a former pharmacy technician who's from Chinatown. In this episode, you'll see how his life spiraled out of control after hanging around with the wrong crowd. But through God's mercy, He pulled him out of those doldrums and helped him find his true calling and purpose in life. Like everyone else in this series, today's guest came home to the church thanks to Catholics Come Home and responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Michael Mark. Michael, thanks so much for being with us today, and welcome home.
Thank you, Tom.
I'd like to start with talking about your family and their faith background. Tell me about that.
There's seven kids. We were all baptized here at Holy Redeemer. Every Sunday we would go to church. I was an altar boy. Went to school here. We were taught by the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart. It was a good experience. Although I was kind of a rebellious kid, I got in trouble with the nuns a lot.
You?
Yes. Other than that, it was a really good experience, and I'm glad that my parents wanted me to be raised as a Catholic.
Michael, tell us about your family's background and growing up as a child in Philadelphia's Chinatown.
I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Chinatown. It's a small community, but vibrant in a lot of restaurants, a lot of the Chinese culture. And I guess for the immigrants that first came over, it was home to them. I mean, they didn't feel, you know, scared because the people were all talking the same language and all that stuff. And then I'm first generation, so as our parents worked, they just wanted us to have a better life. We went to school, they made sure we went to school, went to college, and we all help each other out here in Chinatown.
Michael, you had a firm Catholic background, a good, strong Catholic family. When did you begin to drift away from the faith?
I would say it happened in my junior year in high school, hanging out with the wrong people, trying to fit in. But basically, when I really turned away from God was when my mom got sick. And I was so angry. I was praying and that nothing was happening. I'm ashamed to say that I said, God, I hate you for doing this to me. Why my mom, you know, and stuff like that. Not understanding that it was part of His plan. You know, I just couldn't fathom or grasp the idea that this is the way it's supposed to be.
So you were angry with God because of your mother. What did that lead to?
A lot of self-medicating. A lot of stealing, lying, just to numb the pain. And like, I just didn't care about anybody or anything.
Tell me how your friends kept you in that downward spiral.
I guess they would encourage me even more to get more for us. And not really being a friend telling me that, hey, Mike, maybe we should stop. You know, maybe you need help. And stuff like that.
How did you feel inside when you kept turning your back on God?
I felt horrible, but with the self-medication, it just, I didn't care. You know, but I think deep down in my heart that I was ashamed. And with the shame, you create drama, and that's just another excuse for you to use more. So it was just a cycle that was not, it didn't look like it was gonna end. I was either gonna be dead or in prison.
Coming up, find out what helped turn Michael's life around 180 degrees.
It really, really clicked that I'm not alone. There's other people there that have the same problem that I have, you know, with the drugs, alcohol, stealing, you know, just doing things that a Catholic shouldn't be really doing.
How do you figure out what is right and what is wrong? Well, if your core beliefs are shaped by your culture or the world that is always changing, then you are probably on this road. But if your beliefs are based on truth that never changes, then you are likely over here. So which is right? Well, moral relativism means you can kind of make up your morality as you go. If you decide you want to change what's right and wrong, moral relativism says that's okay. Yet those over here say that there is one truth that never changes. Here you always know what is right and wrong. John Paul II warned us at the end of this road we will find the culture of death. Those who are on this road believe that God would not create humanity and then stop short of telling his children exactly what is right and what is wrong. It is because of this that we believe that at the end of this road, we will truly find the fullness of life.
I was actually raised in the Catholic Church. I went to grade school through sixth grade, and pretty much about the time I went to high school, I stopped attending church and really didn't think much more about it for a number of years. The return to church, the Catholic Church, was somewhat of an evolution. I thought I knew what the Catholic Church believed and taught, but learned very quickly from somebody who knew far more about the Bible than I ever hoped to know. I learned that the Catholic Church, what it truly taught, and that's where I needed to be. I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. Without God in my life, I'd probably be dead. God has literally saved my life. I feel like I'm truly on the road to the fulfillment of really all of my desires, which is ultimately to spend eternity in heaven with myself and my family.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Shining through darkness, Advent joy lights the night air. For kindly Saint Nicholas was making his way there. But wait for a moment, there's a pause in his plan. We're reminded Santa's priority should be that of every woman and man. For peace to flourish and love to abound, our souls must come home. The King of Kings must be found. For centuries, wise men sought the Savior first. Knowing only Jesus can quench our heart's greatest thirst. So come home to Mass and celebrate the holy Christian season, for love is born tonight, our hope for heaven, the reason.
Michael, what brought you out of the darkness?
I was unemployed at the time, and in between looking for work on the internet, I was watching TV and I saw Catholics Come Home, and some of the snippets that were on the show had a familiar ring to it. So I said, let me check this out. So I went online and I was reading some of the testimonials, and it really, really clicked that I'm not alone. There's other people there that have the same problem that I have, you know, with the drugs, alcohol, stealing, you know, just doing things that a Catholic shouldn't be really doing.
When you saw the Catholics Come Home commercial, what happened in your heart?
I started crying. I started crying because I knew that I wasn't alone anymore, and that I think God had a plan and said, this is the time, Mike. This is the time to stop doing what you're doing, and it's time to come home.
So you had an invitation from Catholics Come Home. What happened next?
I talked to Father Tom about it, and he told me to, why don't you just come to church? He just kept harping on me to come to church, come to church. For a while, I was hesitant because I was ashamed, because this is a small community. I'm sure everybody knows what happened to me. But I was dead wrong, because when I finally came to church, I wasn't judged. Everybody was so happy to see me. And the peace that I felt, I can't describe it. You know, it was really peaceful. And I knew that I made the right choice.
How did you feel when you came back to the sacraments?
When I came back to the sacraments, I was really appreciative about, and I understood what they really meant to me, especially with confession. It unburdened my soul, and I was able to receive the Eucharist with an open heart.
You struggled with a lot of guilt from your youth. How did confession bring you back to that healing and forgiveness?
I still feel a little guilt, I guess, because that's my human nature. I still wonder why God would want to forgive somebody like me, but he does. And I just have to keep working at it. I have to stop beating myself up, because some of the things that I've done, it just doesn't make any sense how one can be forgiven with those things.
What was it about the Catholics Come Home testimonials on the website that really got to your heart?
People were, some of the testimonies, they were unemployed. Things were crashing, you know, life was spiraling out of control. And I guess maybe their last recourse was, maybe I should pray to God, see what happens. And then they did, and things started turning around. So I said, that's why I said, let me give it a chance.
Soon, we'll learn about Michael's incredible calling to serve others.
And I can honestly tell them, you know, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it doesn't have to be this way, because if God can save me, God can save anybody.
So often in life, as we progress on our faith journey, we're tempted to look back. Look back at those secular things of the world, those old habits, addictions, compulsions that we left behind when we chose to put Christ at the center of our life. Oftentimes when we evangelize, we have to help others on their faith journey because they're tempted to look back. Chapter 2 of my book, Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, talks about don't look back. You and I as evangelists have to help others to focus forward on the ultimate goal of heaven, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ and not look back at those things that lured us and that tempt us to walk away from Christ. So as you begin to evangelize and continue your evangelization efforts, help your friends, neighbors, coworkers, and relatives to look forward and not to look back.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope, since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
So many of us carry such heavy burdens.
Come on, babe. It'll be fun. It's just you and me.
Deep within, we struggle, because sin separates us from God. But thanks to the grace of confession, God compassionately listens, forgives, and sets us free. So if it's been a while since you've been to confession or Mass, come home and experience a fresh start. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Michael, your life is completely different now. you've not only been brought into a new career, but a new vocation, somewhat similar to Mother Teresa.
There was an opening for a hospice where there was 40 homeless persons that are trying to get back on their feet. And so I applied for that, and through the grace of God, I got the job. And my first day there, we were feeding the guys just a simple bowl of cereal. And when I saw the gratitude in their eyes, I had to walk away. I went into the bathroom and I just started crying, because we take things for granted. Food that we don't finish, we throw away. These guys have nothing, and they're just so grateful just to have something to eat. And that's when I knew that this is the place for me. This is what God's plan is for me.
St. John's not only helps the homeless, but it also serves as a hospice. Tell me about how they help dying people.
There's two programs at the St. John's Hospice. The 40 guys that I work with, they're homeless, something tragic has happened, they don't have a home, and they're trying to get back on their feet. The Good Shepherd program, they have some medical issues, and most of them are dying, and we just try to make them feel comfortable and let them know that they aren't alone.
How has working at St. John's Hospice changed your life?
It's changed my life in the fact that I'm very proud to be working for the Archdiocese and for doing Christ's work, which I never in a million years would think that I would be doing that.
Michael, what do you know now that you didn't know back then?
Love for the first time. For the first time, I feel love from God and from everyone that I meet. I really do feel love, what it really means.
How is God calling you to share forgiveness with others?
Just by helping my fellow man and having him shine in me so that I can lead others to him by my example.
How do you feel God's calling you into the new evangelization?
I think even without words, my actions, people can see that I'm a good person, I have a good heart, and that they can come to me with their problems and I can try to help them with that.
Michael, how did living through those bad times help you to be more compassionate in the people you serve now?
Coming out of that spiral, a lot of the clients that I work with may have the same problems that I have, and I can relate to that. And I can honestly tell them, you know, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it doesn't have to be this way, because if God can save me, God can save anybody.
Michael, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for God's mercy, His grace, and for bringing me back home.
When you think back to your childhood in this very parish, how are you like that 5-year-old boy that used to come to Mass here so long ago?
I'm in awe. My heart's like a child. All the prayers, the songs, just Mass in general, I'm like a little child, like in a candy store. I love it. It's just like, I can't get enough of it, you know?
Michael, you mentioned that you were a tough guy all those years, but now you're sensitive. Things make you cry. What makes you cry?
Because I know that I'm forgiven and that God always loves me. No matter what, I mean, there's no sin that He can't forgive. No matter what you do, He's always going to forgive you. See, I'm tearing up right now. And that's a really good feeling. And like I said, that's the first time I feel love. You know?
What makes you want to share that joy with others now?
I would tell people right now that prayer is the most important part right now, because you want to talk to God, because He's waiting to hear from you. talk to him and believe that he will forgive you. You just got to give him a chance.
So someone else in your family has come back to church. Who was that?
Okay, that would be my father. I would have never thought that him and I would be in church together. Especially, you know, of my past and how much I've hurt him. And he just turned 90 March 20th. He's really, really happy that I've changed and I've come back to the church. It's pretty cool because sometimes on Sundays he'll be like, hey, let's go. Let's go to church. We would get up extra early, have a little breakfast, and get ready to go. It's pretty cool.
How did your friends and family react to your return to the church?
The regular people that are here in church that I know from my past, like, I was kind of hesitant. You know, they're like, oh, maybe he's in trouble. You know, he needs to come back to church. I mean, you know, he needs to talk to Father Tom or something. But when they saw that I was coming regularly, there was no judgment. You know, I was just, you know, scared that they were going to judge me, like, this guy is not for real. They accepted me. This is my Catholic family. And I really appreciate that. I mean, I love all my whole Catholic family. There was no judgment at all. And it just made me want to come to church more often now.
What brings you joy now?
That I finally found some peace. That I know God is with me all times. Jesus is my companion. He's my brother. And he's my savior.
Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for your yes to God in coming home. And thank you for serving God's people in the hospice.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad I did it.
Personal stories are powerful tools in evangelization. Today's viewer question will help you learn how to better share your own story when witnessing to others. I've heard people talk a lot about personal witness in evangelizing. How do I do that? How do I share my story? And how will that help someone come home? First, develop your elevator pitch. Can you express the importance of your Catholic faith in 2 minutes? An elevator pitch is a short, positive summary from your heart, lasting no more than 2 minutes, the length of an elevator ride, that explains the value of a proposal. In this case, an invitation to the adventure that is Catholicism. Your Catholic elevator pitch will answer the question, how does the Catholic faith enrich my life and draw me closer to Jesus and heaven? Second, empathize. Seek to understand where the person is coming from and express your genuine concern. Empathy is foundational to helping someone feel comfortable in sharing his story after you have shared yours. Remember to appeal to people's top 5 reasons for coming home. These reasons are most often expressed by those who have returned to the practice of their Catholic faith after being away for various lengths of time. If most people come back because of these realities, then we should appeal to these reasons in reaching out to others. What are they? First, we hunger for meaning and purpose in our lives. Second, we all sin and need God's mercy. We need His forgiveness and healing for our failings and to help us become better people. Third, our families need to be built on a strong foundation of faith, and we are made to live in community with one another. Fourth, the Catholic Church has the sacraments, and we especially long for the Eucharist. The Eucharist is often said to be the number one reason why people return to the faith. And last but not least, Catholicism is true. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org and read Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, for more help in learning how to share your story, including how to more effectively share about how Jesus is working in your life.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the church, thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@catholicscomehome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and then it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
For victory in life, we've got to keep focused on the goal, and the goal is heaven. The key to winning is choosing to do God's will and love others with all you've got. Sacrifice, discipline, and prayer are essential. We gain strength through God's word, and we receive grace from the sacraments. And when we fumble due to sin, and it's going to happen, confession puts us back on the field. So if you haven't been going to Mass weekly, get back in the game. We're saving your seat on the starting bench this Sunday. Welcome home.
For 2,000 years, our family has celebrated life and prayed for our world. We cared for the poor, started hospitals, blessed marriages, and educated generations of children. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, come home to your parish and visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete. The deal clincher is we found our way to our parish, and we met just an incredible pastor. We learned things that we'd never been taught. Wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Michael's life spiraled out of control after making some horribly bad choices in life, leaving him depressed and feeling without peace. But thanks to God's grace, Michael responded to a Catholics Come Home invitation that not only helped him, but also his 90-year-old father back to the Catholic Church. Michael soon found his true vocation in life, a calling to serve the needy and homeless on the streets of Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please keep Michael, his father, and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. Remember to do your part in the new evangelization by helping to love somebody to heaven. Yeah.